podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
They could break here, Chelsea. This could be the moment. Frank Lampard for Chelsea. It's Carvalho to his right. Lampard for the title. Lampard! It's 2-0! It's Chelsea's championship! And 50 years of waiting have come to an end!
Lampard comes out to Essien!
Oh my goodness.
Fantastic counter-attack. Here's Didier Drogba. And now get down the middle. Drogba goes! Chelsea 2, Arsenal 1. Didier Drogba has...
Drogba in the centre!
McCoy just came from behind and went forward. Now going back to Magnus. Money at the ball.
Possibly bleak as this. Drogba!
Madness. Never ended up in McDonald's. And I have had a trophy in one time. Not the fault that I played for the Gunners.
It's me to now be your host for this one. I'm joined by the evergreen Jay. What are you saying, bro?
All good, brother. All good, man. Like, just trying to get through the weeks, you know, because obviously the team that we love, they just seem to just want to upset us every week, bro. Like, there's always something.
Do you know what the craziest thing is, yeah? Work has been stressful. I've been so busy. And, like, usually around this time of the year, Chelsea are doing all right in the cup competitions, in Europe, you know, probably trying to get into a Champions League quarters or semis, no problem.
Yeah, facts.
But, brother, All I usually look forward to is watching my team on the weekend compete. But now anarchy and chaos at work follows me into the weekend, with anarchy and chaos at work, but also watching Chelsea. I get nothing but displeasure watching my team play, and that is a mental thing to be in. I feel so disgusted that this is where we're at. But ultimately, like Mr. Frank Lampard used to say, it's just where we're at the moment. And it's just one thing after the next. So after the euphoria of the win against Manchester United, and I can't say I was euphoric because of the manner in which we won the game, and I was a bit disgusted by it all, but we still won the game, beating United. We've not beaten United for a long time. So beating them at home, I felt quite good.
It's been probably the only positive, innit?
It's been a while since I've seen it.
It's
been a while since I've seen a win against United. It's been a long time.
Yeah.
Cool. Sure. And there's been plenty of games where we've smashed them to bits and still not won the game. So I take it, yeah? Last pod spoke about the potential pitfalls of us playing against Sheffield United, because I'm never confident. You know, me and Jerry talked at length, and I said I'm just not confident. I don't trust this manager. I don't trust what he's trying to do. Therefore, I don't trust the boys to go out there and get the results, because it just isn't really clear what the manager wants from these guys. And the way we've been performing throughout the season has been so disappointing. I just didn't trust it. And lo and behold, Chelsea squander a victory last minute to Ollie McBurnie. I think McBurnie loves dunking on us. I think he has a personal problem with Chelsea Football Club. Even when we're flying, Ollie McBurnie has a way of finding a goal against us when they're in the league. And it just seems to be, he's the bane of my life, really. But I want to talk about the result. 2-2 at Sheffield United. Talk to me, Jay. Talk to me. Because I'm trying to find the positives in that result. I'm trying to find the positives in that performance. But it was such a bad one.
Yeah.
I'm struggling. So when you see the lineup, Thiago Silva gets introduced into the team for the first time in quite a long time. Axel De Sassi playing at right back. Kukurea at left back. And Chaloba in defence with Thiago Silva. Yeah, Cole Palmer. The usual suspects: Cole Palmer, Conor Gallagher, Enzo and Caicedo. Then you had Madueke and Jackson. It was a weird setup. It looked like a 3-5-2 at times, or 3-4-3. But to be honest, I did not have a Scooby Doo what he was doing.
Because it just doesn't look clear.
When you saw the lineup, Jay, tell me what you thought.
Well, straight away, you know when you initially see the 11, just the names. Straight away, I thought to myself, "Ah, Trev, he's playing right back," because I just thought, like, you know, it makes sense, right? Trev's the better athlete. He's probably got a little bit more pace than the Sassy, and he's just used to, you know, playing like he's played out of position before, Trevor. So it's like, he can play midfield, he can do the right back thing, he can do the centre back thing. So it just makes sense to put him out there. So when I saw the Sassy right back, I was already disappointed with just the start in general, because I just thought to myself, I don't know how that's benefiting us. Do you see what I'm saying? So everything else, I don't really say too much about, because I think I've seen the Jackson left wing thing already. I've seen Palmer play false nine and do okay. And where is Sheffield United? I shouldn't really be bothered about changes too much up there. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's facts, no? Like,
yeah, I hear you. Bro, I hear you. And the biggest concern for me is, I'm like, okay, if you're going to do changes, then all right, say less. But why are you doing match changes like this against Sheffield United? It's not like what was baffling to me is like, all right, it's not like we're playing a game midweek. It's not like we're playing the game on next Saturday. We're playing the game against Everton on Monday. So I'm just like, what the fuck? Mm. And look, don't get me wrong, Gusto, you know, you don't want to take risks. You know what I'm saying? He's not been well. You don't want to take risks. Cool, say less. No problem. But fam, like, why are you making a complete system change? One.
Yeah.
Two, you're putting players, again, in positions where they will suffer. Why are you not putting your players and your team in the best position to win?
Yeah.
That's the why. Everyone that's been listening to this podcast knows that one of my key phrases is that a manager's main job is to ensure that he gets the most out of his players. One, two, masks and protects their deficiencies within the team. Three, put his players in the best position to win. Those are my real
since game week one, bro. Even after the good performance against Liverpool, you even said like,
bro, is my literal staples. So yeah. I just, for the life of me, don't understand how we're in April and he's still doing this.
Yeah, no, it's
so criminal.
It is. No, you know what? It is. And like I said, you know, the thing is as well, it's like when you're, if you do decide to wait and you're not one to go early and be like, oh, you know what? I've already seen enough. I don't think he's good enough yet. If you are going to be one of the ones, which who I am in terms of, I'm waiting to see if he changes things. This is where I do agree that by this stage, like why I was waiting was because I had faith that you would get to this stage and have sorted out some of these issues. Do you know what I mean? You've had a whole half of a season to kind of tweak and do what you want to do and try this and try that. And all right, cool. Granted, we've had injuries, but you've still been able to come to terms with that and know how long these people are going to be out for. So you should already have a clear idea and plan of what you want to do with certain players and how to get the best out of them, in my opinion. So when you get to this stage now, still doing things like playing the Sassy at right back, I don't get how you can't understand that you're allowing the team to take advantage of that kind of right, our right side, because he's not going to attack like Gusto does. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so because of that reason, you've already allowed them to kind of pressure us whenever they decide to. Do you know what I mean? If they decide to start going up that flank, they're going to have joy because the Sassy is not going to be pushing them back. And then on top of that, he's not the greatest 1v1 defender. So it's like, it's literally sabotage, bro. Because you've sabotaged Cole Palmer in terms of attack, in terms of what he can do. Yeah. Because the big part of Cole Palmer's attack this season has been, even when Reece played a couple games, you saw how key it was to have somebody there that could bomb up and down and, you know, make those runs. And Gusto, who's been flying for us this season, it's almost been the Cole Palmer and Gusto show, hasn't it? Like, you know, games. So it's like, the fact that you even know that, yo, these have been the guys that have pretty much, you know, been the shining light for us when it comes to trying to punish teams and that. So then what makes you think that De Sassi is not that? What, I don't understand how you could have put, I agree with Babs here in where he says you should have looked to the academy for maybe a player that can do that role a little bit more, you know, more natural than what De Sassi would. Because even if he wasn't necessarily prepared to come in and play, right, he still would have had his natural game in his head in terms of, all right, I'm a right back, I bomb on, I support the attackers, I get back when I can, I give energy, do you know, all these things.
Yeah.
And you probably would have, and even if it doesn't work, people still would have been like, you know what, he tried.
They respect it, bro. Yeah, like, one thing that, like, it really blows my mind. Like, you see managers across the league thinking, you know what, apart from a couple, man, they think, okay, you know what, we've got injuries. Let's be imaginative, right? Let's get some for the academy. Let's pluck someone from the academy to try and make sense of the little plight that we're in. You've got injuries, fine, no problem. Or your resting guys, fine, no problem. It's Sheffield United, right? You don't have to have a full-strength team to beat Sheffield United. But what you do need to do is to put your players in the position to thrive. And putting De Sassi at right back, you've done it all season. Every single time, it's been horrible. So what are you doing? Like, every single time he's done it, it's been a shit show. And for the life of me, I don't understand what he's doing. Like, I've been saying for a long time, there is no clear way in which we go about playing football. There's no way in terms of offensively and defensively. Offensively, it seems like give it to Palmer, he'll try and make something happen. Or give it to your 1v1 guys and try and make it something happen. There's no real process in getting the ball to these guys. There's no real process in building play. There's no real process in terms of way and pattern of play. There's nothing. There's the counter press and then get it to Cole Palmer. That's it.
I was just about to say, and what I was about to say is as well, like, the only thing I'd say about the style of play that Poch has had that I think everybody's kind of seen and been clear on is that he sometimes does this thing, but it only works in games where the team want to have the ball. And if you can kind of, I feel like sometimes in the bigger games, like in the first half against United, where it wasn't so chaotic, he kind of allowed them to have the ball and then he tried to nick it off them, which they did successfully quite a few times, and then try and counter them and hit them on a break kind of thing. I think that's the only part of the game that I've seen from Poch so far when he's been here that I feel like the players understand and 100% kind of execute to a high level. Because even at some point this season, I think they had the most turnovers in terms of, like, you know, nicking possession in the final and that. So I think that part is clear. But the problem is, it's like you're saying, like, against these teams, right, you're not going to get that because they're not going to have the ball. You're going to have the ball.
Yeah.
So you can't, there's nothing to press. Do you know what I'm saying? There's nothing to press. There's nobody to bait. There's no, do you know what I'm saying? It's like it is on you to find a plan and pick them apart. And you are going to have to show that side of yourself as a coach, even if you're not this super tactical genius like some of these other managers are and are super detailed. You still got to have some sort of plan in terms of how to break them down. And even with that, I'll be honest and say, with the basics of that, I just don't see even then what the plan is in terms of how you want to break them down. Like, are we doing it? Are we going wide and trying to cut in and maybe, you know, have a high volume of shots? Is that what we're trying to do? Or are we trying to pass it about, hold possession, and then look for that kind of, you know, a little bit of a, like, a tricky pass or whatever? In that game especially, it just does. It didn't seem like that, and I think the way it just crumbles with this team at the moment. Like, we can all talk about quality and stuff like that, right? Like, at the end of the day, we've also seen us not be good enough in certain situations. But that doesn't help. I just don't think that the lack of direction when you're in those kind of games, I don't think it helps at all.
It's so crazy. And this is why, when I talk about patterns of play, I'm not expecting us to play Guardiola football. I'm not even expecting us to play like this super, like this rock and roll sort of football that Klopp used to bring. I'm just saying a clear way in which you approach attacking a team.
Yeah.
Like, that's all man's asking in terms of patterns. I'm not talking about, it needs to be super automated like Antonio Conte. I'm not even talking about that. I'm just talking about clear patterns of how you build up.
Because that's where we're at now, isn't it?
I'm just talking about clear patterns of how you want to break down a team, clear patterns of how you want to build up play, clear patterns on how you approach control and possession, clear clarity.
And means, don't forget, we played them already.
Broski.
You see what I'm saying? So it's like, this is another thing, and I think I hate this, because you've played the team already, right? You came up against these issues in the first game. Right. Remember, I think like we were struggling to break them down in the first game, and then I think it was the game where we moved Cole Palmer from inside to right wing.
Yeah.
But then you started Cole Palmer central.
It's
actually bonkers, you know.
I think like what I've said to you here is that one thing I admire about you, Jay, is like you have patience and you'll wait and bide your time just to make sure that what you're seeing and saying is kind of thorough and thought out. And I've got no problems with that. But Broski, this is all I was seeing this from the very beginning. And I was like, nah. This can't be us. And I knew from about game week 5, I'm like, this is him. I knew from the first couple games, I was like, wait, even against Liverpool, I said, this ain't right. Like these things where I'm already seeing people out of position, uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I said it on the first pod, I don't like this. This is bad. This is not good. It just didn't make sense to me. But I let it go. I said, all right, you know what? As long as he's getting the results, and as long as he's that this is him and he's trying to get the results.
If we can get that level of performance in the second half,
it's cool.
If that happened throughout the season, you wouldn't be complaining anywhere near as much. Yeah, I
guess. Exactly. If that's the case, then say less. I'm not gonna bitch on that. Cool. But
it hasn't been the case.
There needs to be something that I'm seeing, right? And ultimately, it's just been a shit show ever since. And I've just been looking at it, just playing out. And the way that our fans have been making excuses and allowances for him for so long, I think it's bonkers, because this is Chelsea Football Club. And I don't care if you say, oh, we're not the same. Bro, no. This is Chelsea Football Club. Regardless of the players are different, this is an institution. Yeah,
we still got the spire to get back.
There still needs to be something there. And even if you look at our team is more than good enough to have a quality spine. We've got Cole Palmer. We've got Nicholas Jackson, I think, is a good player. You've got Enzo and Caicedo. That's a good midfield too. Yeah. You've got Cole Will and you've got Thiago Silva. That's a good spine. That's a good enough spine. To actually, because everything else, once you have a good spine, everything else really is like rudimentary. Like that, you don't need to have world class players to do something in a football match. Like Sheffield United got a 2-2 draw against us. You can't name any of their guys apart from McBurnie.
Absolutely not. Exactly.
What I mean? Like, and they're not even that good, but they competed, and to me, they could have won the game. Like why it's so confusing and so frustrating is that people say the players aren't good enough. The players are good enough. You say that they're not good enough, but we're 11th or wherever we are now on the table. And you're saying they're not good enough. This squad of players are more than capable of being in the top four. More than capable. So you have to look beyond the players for a minute. Like, I understand that you want to make a manager work, or you want to believe a manager's going to work and let them do their work. But ultimately, you have to come to a point and think, you know what, actually? It's the manager that's not doing enough here. The manager's not getting enough out of these players. it has to come to a point because we've changed the whole squad. People are saying, oh, the squad's not good enough last season. If you were saying the squad's not good enough last season, they were blaming everyone but the manager. But then it got to a point where they realised, actually, hold on, nah, this is not good enough from the manager. And fair enough. I think Potter last season was poor, really poor. And I called it out very early. So I got the same feeling when I was watching Poch as I got with Potter. I said, this feels wrong. A lot of what I'm seeing does not feel right. Whether it's the way he speaks with the media, the way he interacts and engages with the fans, the way that he sets his team up. I'm like, a lot of this is just wrong, right? It doesn't feel right. So I had no real confidence, yeah, going into the season that we're going to do anything. Because a lot of Poch's talk in the summer was positive because he was talking about Chelsea as an institution, talking about what we were, what we are. Boom. I respected that. But very soon into the season, he just started trying to taper expectations and it was making me sick. And I knew that he is the pussy I thought he was. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, he is the coward that I thought he was, the fraud that I thought he was. Because you can't take a team that had Neymar, Messi, Mbappe as your front three and struggle in the French league. That's criminal. You can't have a situation where the best player in the history of the sport is only scoring 6 goals under your tutelage. That is bonkers. So yeah. I said in the summer, if he could only get Messi to score 6 goals, we're in big trouble. We are in big, big trouble because we have not got a player anywhere near the caliber of Messi, right?
It's interesting that though means that I get what you're saying, but what's interesting about that is though, he's come here and the attack's actually been good.
Yeah, you know good is strong. What I'd say is this, right? He's come here and there's been a relative consistency in the attack. Therefore, that's reflected in these players' numbers. So Cole Palmer's played pretty much every game. His numbers are high as a result, right? And then you add on top penalties, right? Nicholas Jackson's played pretty much every game, right? In under, like, say, Tuchel or Frank Lampard or under Sarri, maybe Sarri has consistency in his team picks. But usually, when you're at Chelsea, there's so many players, so many mouths to feed, you're not getting a run in the team. So your numbers are going to be like the 3 or 4s or the 4s and 5s, right? And that don't look good. You know what I mean? You're not getting the consistency that these men have had, so their numbers look better. So Nicholas Jackson, we've got, 9 or 10 league goals? You know what I'm saying? So it looks better because Jackson has played, but Jackson's played every minute. He's played pretty much every minute. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so but I think different. In terms of just the quality though, because what I'm saying is as well, like Jackson, I don't think he's like a shooter like that in this moment. But I still think, I agree with you. The consistency is a big part of why the attack will have this this kind of image of they've been good this season. And, you know, I've been the first one to say, I think they can do much better in terms of like in situations in the final third and stuff like that. I just think there's been a lot of situations in isolation where they've kind of shown some lack of quality at times. But I do think that the way we've tried to counter teams and the way we've kind of hit them on the break and stuff like that, those parts of the attack and trying to punish the team as best we can, I do think they have been good in those situations. What I will say is, like I said, I've already agreed with the consistency part. It would just be interesting to see what would happen if these lot did go on to sign a striker that was maybe more of a shooter or whatever. Because I think the main issue right now with Chelsea, and I think you'd agree, is defensively we just look a shambles, and structurally, obviously, we look a shambles.
Yeah. I don't have too much of a problem with the attack, and I've said this before. I don't, and I feel like if you look at let's talk about environment, and let's talk about circumstances, right? So, the environment where you're playing under a coach where he kind of gives you the freedom to do what you want.
Yeah,
it's somewhat positive in one instance because you're kind of freestyling, but in the second instance, when things are tight and tetchy, you kind of need something to fall back on. You need some guidance. Yeah. You need some degree of knowing where your man's going to be. You're gonna need that because that gives you the additional split seconds to make decisions faster, right? If you know where your players are going to be, you know where your teammates are going to be, You don't have to think. You can just get let go. Let the team go, and you know where your guys are. But where it's freestyle, you have to look and think and process and then make the action. And that's why.
And changes, that you make as well.
Bro.
If, for example, if you don't have that in place, right, when you make changes, that is why changes can look sometimes so chaotic.
Horrible.
So poor. Because horrible. Because you say, for example, you're playing a Mudryk, and like you said, you're giving them the freedom. All right, cool. You take off Mudryk now, you put on Sterling. Bro, they don't play the same.
No.
At all. No. Do you see what I'm saying? So when you do that, basically you're just saying, all right, I've tried Mudryk's way, so now I'm going to try Sterling's way. But it's like, that's a bit, I don't want to say scary, because they're good players. Like, they're decent players. They've got the ability to hurt a team. But I don't know. It is a bit worrying if because you're just kind of relying on them then, isn't it? Do you see what I'm saying?
That's what I'm saying. So it's crazy. So all you're doing is relying on individual quality. And I don't have a problem with that per se, but you need to give them some degree of guidance.
There's got to be a blend, isn't it?
It can't just be all them. And unfortunately, that's what it's been. Like, it's been crazy. And I just look at the way that he just sets the team up, and it honestly blows my mind. It blows my mind, and it's no surprise we are where we are. It's no surprises. Don't get me wrong. Some of them have to take accountability. They've not been good in certain games, but bruh.
There are things the manager can do, though, and this is what I've never shied away from, is that there are things that the manager can do that can put the team, like you say, in a better position to not have these things happen so frequently. They might still happen, but just not as frequent. Yeah. Like in the last seven games or eight games, no, last seven games, we've conceded twice in all seven games, right?
That's just...
That can happen in a game, but like I'm saying, it shouldn't happen so frequently. So it should be like 50% of those games where we've conceded two. Because then we can be like, yeah, we know we're leaky, whatever, but there's been games also where we've been solid, but we're not really getting enough of that. We're getting just like we're 100% going to concede. Like that's kind of like the feeling, isn't it? And it's like you go 2-0 up and you're still like, you know what? That ain't enough. Do you know what I mean? And we should never. No team really and truly should ever be in that situation. Forget about even talking about top four. You should never be a team, just generally in the Premier League level. You shouldn't really be a team that when you get to 2-0 up, you're worried about conceding three goals or two goals. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah, to say that we're meant to be one of the top teams and we're still worried about those kind of things going into the season. And I posted in the group as well about how, you know, we're close to like 60 goals conceded.
That is a high
number, Meads, bro.
Never seen anything like it, bro.
Because to win the league, you'd be hovering around. I think you'd be hovering around 30s, maybe.
So
I said the other day, like next season, if this guy was to still be here next season, they would be literally asking him to kind of slash however many he concedes this season. He'd have to slash that in half.
Bro, it's not happening. It's not happening, bro. Like what? Like what? What's that, bro? It's crazy.
That's like a Van Dijk level signing.
I just look at it and I just think, like, what good is keeping him doing? Like, what good is keeping him? And he has been a monumental failure. I think, like I've said before, for me, easily the worst coach we've had. And I'm not saying this to in terms of hyperbole, because we've had Frank Lampard, who for me was horrible. He lost like nearly every game last season. Right? But Frank Lampard, to me, is not a football coach. So I'm not even like... The way that I view it is like, okay, well, it's Frank Lampard. He's not a real coach. Do you get what I'm trying to say? So I don't see it.
The expectation to begin with isn't something crazy. So how can I be that harsh on him?
I don't rate man like that. You know what I'm saying? I don't rate man like that. So it's like, all right, cool. Frank, you're not good. Say less. Like, no problem. Like, it is what it is, you get me? But this guy is supposedly an experienced coach, an experienced manager that knows what he's doing. But, bro, I've seen nothing but, man. I've seen nothing but. He's an absolute joker of a manager. Absolute joker. And ultimately, we are going to suffer a painful death if we continue with this guy. Like, it's just, we have to cut ties with haste, with real haste.
I think the main reason as well why a lot of fans have felt like this about Poch as well is because it's the overall package and how you assess the whole thing in terms of since he's come here, right? Yeah. And I think the point you made about, you know, there's been other managers that are worse. Avram Grant really and truly is a worse manager. Roberto Di Matteo really and truly is a worse manager. Lampard really and truly is a worse manager. But you have to look at it as the whole package and what we were sold when you first came here. Not even just what he said in pre-season, but even like what we've seen you do elsewhere. So like we've seen you do what you've done at Tottenham. We've seen you, you know, do what you've done at Southampton. So even when you look at some of the stuff he's done there, right? And I'm not saying it's anything amazing, but I'm just saying it's nowhere near as bad as what he's doing here, which is why it makes it worse as well. What he's doing here makes it worse because you've had the experience and you've shown us that like that you've got some sort of quality, like it's somewhere crazy. At some point you had that quality. So it's like how have you come here now and you've started to do these things that
I kind of
Spurs
like...
fans. Even some Spurs fans are saying to me, they're like, I can't believe how bad he is. I'm like, what?
I mean, for me, like, you know what I'm saying. Like,
you didn't rate.
I didn't rate man like that. So
no, I get you. But there's definitely like going to be a group of them out there that would have been positive about him coming in. And I've seen it because I've seen the comments even when he signed. Do you know what I mean? And how buzzing some people were. And that, like, I get it. Like, even what you're saying is, I know that's true because I speak to you and Dan all the time. So I know, like, who wasn't moved by Poch in the first place. But I know there's a large group of them out there that would have looked at these things and been like, all right, cool, no problem. Like, he's going to bring some sort of level back. And then to see this level, though, like, it's and like you said, it's just the everyday stuff as well. Even some of the stuff in the presses and all this kind of stuff. It's like, It's just so baffling. And nobody's more disappointed probably in the group than myself, because I just feel like he, even away from the tactical stuff, because I've never ever gone down the route of saying he's a tactical genius and he's this and that. I just thought he would always be able to get the players to a point, to a position where they would be able to compete.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't lack that kind of effort and work, you know, that work ethic, and that they would fight for the team and all that kind of stuff, but they would also, you know, show some kind of like quality on the pitch as well.
Yeah,
and I think the players have at times, but I think there's been a lot of times where players are going to always let you down at some point in some moment of the game. It happens, like we always say, it's football. But I don't think I was expecting Poch to let me down as many times as he has in certain games this season. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he's let me down in games where the games they're not that hard to kind of gauge or
it's like, it's literally like you think yourself like, bro, do better, man. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, just do better, man. Because
it's like what we spoke about just now with the Sheffield United thing. It's like, at this point, to play De Sassi there when Trev is back and fully fit, it's like, surely Trev is the better option to play at right back.
It just doesn't, this is what I'm trying to say. Like, it don't make no sense. And it's so baffling, bro. It's so baffling. And
then I mentioned, remember, I don't know if you saw in the group the other day, but I said, I mentioned about Mudryk, and I was like, you know what? I actually like that Mudryk playing these games now, because it's a perfect opportunity where you've seen Sterling out the team.
Yeah.
And it's clear that he's not in the team at the moment and he's not favoured, right? It's clear. So, no problem. Like, let me see you just give this guy his run of games. Like, just let him play the games. Let him play the
games. Like, what? It's so confusing. I'm just like, bro, let guy play. Let's let him play. Because it's not like he's been bad when he's played. He's been pretty good when he's played.
That's what I'm saying. You're having a good, positive impact on, like, well, it seems like it's either he's got back to himself and he's, like, settled or whatever, or maybe behind the scenes maybe him and Poch do have a decent relationship and they're getting somewhere. But if that's the case,
I don't see how that's possible.
Yeah,
because he keeps not playing.
Yeah, you know, no, but that's what I'm trying to say. Like, Sheffield United, now it makes me think, like against Sheffield United, surely.
It's mad. It's mental. But All this to say, I think we're both in agreement that Poch can't continue here, man. I think it's after that game, I think even amongst staunchest of Pochettino supporters would look at that and think, yeah, nah.
It's hard. Yeah, no, I do agree. Like, it's hard to look at that game and be like positive about him staying next season, in my opinion. Like, I just think, because I just feel like, you know, Sheffield United is probably one of the easiest games to manage against. You know what I mean? Like, and I'm not trying to disrespect them. I'm just saying, like,
it's real talk. You're being completely fair.
It's like, just it's not a hard game that we should.
And don't get me wrong. They gave Liverpool a tough time, right? In the game before, I think it was. So they're not mugs, right? But bro, if you're worth your salt, you should do better. You should do better.
But means we went a goal up both times.
Bro,
do you see what I'm saying?
Like, this is what I'm saying. Like,
these things are happening a lot. Like, we're going up, we're going a goal up a lot of times, bro. We're going a goal up, and we're having a good half or something. And
bro,
then,
this is what I'm saying. So it can't just be the players. It can't be the players not being good enough. There needs to be some game state management here. As a coach, that's your job, and you can't talk about inexperience. Coach, you know they're inexperienced, yeah. So okay, yeah, inexperienced. Then you should make some adjustments, make some decisions, do your job as a manager to impact that, to caveat that, to kind of protect them against themselves or whatever you think their inexperience is going to cause us. What are you doing?
It's interesting to watch how it plays out with the group of players and Poch, because what I actually think is happening is I think that he has a good relationship with the players and the players have a good relationship with him. But what I think is happening is that good relationship is overseeing how poor he's maybe doing in terms of his job on the pitch.
Yeah.
Because, you know, as a player, if you like a manager enough, you might be blind to what is actually kind of like where the direction is going. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because you're playing games, he's motivating you, he's making you feel good about yourself, he's doing all those things. And good, like, don't get me wrong, it's good to have players feel like that. It's good to have players feel that way. But they also need to be able to be confident in what you're going to do as a manager in terms of winning the games as well. And I think where this group is also quite young and inexperienced, some of them, not all of them, some of them, those players especially will kind of be under that spell a little bit at the moment, where they'll be very kind of pro Poch at the moment. And I love the gaffer. Like, you've heard how Carney speaks about him. I'm not surprised.
I'm like, yeah, there's a good relationship because a lot of these men are playing. They've got opportunity in that respect. And it's like, okay, they're playing, you know, the coach, like, he seems like a nice enough guy. Don't get me wrong. Like,
just seems like a nice enough guy. Yeah, it's just not going to be enough, though, is it?
It's not enough. You need to coach. I don't need you to be fucking talking about barbecues or all that shit. No, I need you to coach. Do your job. And he's just been a monumental failure in that respect, man. Monumental. And ultimately, it's another L appointment from these owners. They've gone 4-for-4, Broski. And I go back to the question I asked in April last year. What have you, man, seen from these owners to give you faith that they are capable of making correct decisions? It's 4-for-4 now. They've been horrible. So not only did they sack a Champions League world-class coach, by the way, in Thomas Tuchel. And we saw Thomas Tuchel up against Arsenal in the Champions League quarterfinals. And we saw tactically astounding. You see what I'm trying to say? So there's levels, right? There's levels with inferior players. There's a couple of inferior guys, like their midfield, Lima and Goretzka, horrible. Let's not digress, but we'll talk about that later on. But Pochettino, you have to earn your stripes and show that you can coach. But from what I've seen of you, nothing but a shambles. And I think, like I said earlier, we're all in agreement that this guy has to go. And if these owners do not make the decision to sack him at the end of the season, then we are in for. You know what it is? It's like I said last year. If these guys continue to show their ineptitude, their arrogance, and their real lack of touch for the game, we as a football club are done for. We, Chelsea Football Club, as we know it, are finitoed. And it's not hyperbole. It's dead seriousness. Because you can't be doing what these men are doing and expect us to get back at the top table. I look at us and I think, yes, we're a coach away from being great, right? Because I think our squad's really good enough. But the owners, what are the owners going to do for that said coach? What kind of environment are they going to create for that said coach? I look at these owners and I see a lot of vanity. And that's why I'm so against them.
Yeah.
If you as an owner of something see something failing, and you've made a lot of rash decisions, I understand there's an apprehension and you want to take time to see it pay out. Fair. But you should also look at what's good. And if you're acting out of fear or acting out of embarrassment because you've made rash decisions before, then you're always going to fail. One thing I loved about, just before I pass over to you, about Roman was his ability to say, you know what? I've made a mistake here. I'm going to correct it. There is nothing wrong with admitting, you know what, I've made an error. And I think these owners have a perfect opportunity to recognize their error, admit their error, take some humility, be humble, and say, you know what, we've made a mistake. We've deviated far away from what Chelsea actually are. And we're going to do our best as owners to right those wrongs and correct it. Let's see if these owners have the humility. But I'm not entirely sure if they do. But go on, bro.
No, I was just going to say, no, I agree. I agree with what you're saying 100%. And it's interesting, like the position that they've put themselves in at the moment, because the sacking Pochettino thing, it wouldn't look crazy if they did it at the end of the season. I don't think anybody would be like, oh, how could they do that? They didn't give them time and all that. I don't think that would be the case. I don't think it's anywhere near the same as, say, for example, the Potter thing in terms of how, you know, he coming off the back of a window that wasn't his, and then the players in Jan and then all that kind of stuff. Not saying that is a big excuse for why he didn't play manage well, but I'm just saying it's so different, isn't it? Like it's completely different.
Yeah,
Poch has come in with a pre-season. A lot of articles have said how, you know, he's had a say in this and he's had a say in that. He's had good conversations with the owners. He's come out and said how he's got a good relationship with the owners. Like, so all of this stuff throughout the season, it's been made out that they've been on the same page and they've spoken about everything and all of that. So there hasn't really been chaos for Poch in this season. Do you know what I mean? In terms of while he's been working, in my opinion. And so when they get to the end of the season and they assess it, I don't think anybody's going to say anything too crazy, along with the fact of what you said about how what he's coming off the back of in terms of, like, he's been an experienced coach. He's been places already. He's won a trophy at PSG. He's done all these things. He shouldn't be coming here and being as bad as he is. So that all that being said, I don't think anybody would look at what the owners do as something crazy if they were to get rid of him.
Facts.
And then what I will say as well about how they can right their wrongs. I agree with what you're saying in terms of can they show that they can see an opportunity to really try and fix something where the fans can really get behind it and be like, you know what? They're trying to fix it. Because fans are seeing links with other managers that they just don't really feel like are going to do anything. So they're seeing this guy from Holland, I think his name is Slot or whatever. They're seeing that guy. They're seeing a Thomas Frank name pop up here and there. And when they see that stuff, it just looks like Chelsea are destined to go further and further down the table.
Yeah.
But then if it's a thing where we saw the links the other day about Ruben Amorim coming out and saying how he's not decided on his future yet. We've seen that Xabi Alonso said he's staying at Bayer Leverkusen for another season. We've seen that Thomas Tuchel might be getting, he might be walking out from Bayern.
He's leaving Bayern, and there's links with United. Yes, you're right. There's an opportunity here for them to really right their wrongs and actually get the fans on board. And if they don't recognise, because I feel like they've almost been like battling with the fans. Like, oh, these men don't know where they're on. Like, these men are going to complain. It is what it is. We have to stay the course. They've been having that kind of arrogance. And I've been thinking to myself, are you man actually thick? Like, think about what you're doing here. That in any sort of sport, any sort of organization, in any sort of business, anything you want to do in life, right? If you want to succeed, there needs to be a synergy. I've spoken about this word for so long, and it's so important. And I've been stressing it for so long, and people underestimate the importance of synergy in anything you do. A collaborative, a holistic, synergized approach, because you all feel you're on the same page, singing from the same hymn sheet and going in the same direction. There's no real disputes, there's no real fighting, and if there's disagreements, you put your point across, you hear them, they hear you, you come to an agreement. That is what a synergized institution looks like. We had that synergy with Marina, Czech, Roman, Tuchel, the fans, players. Synergy. Are you going to get some people that are not happy within that situation? Yes, because you can't keep everyone happy. Lo and behold, that's what happens. So when I looked at Arsenal and I looked at Edu sticking by Arteta in the tough times, I looked at Edu, even when he was coming under criticism for failing transfer targets, I'm looking at Arteta saying, you know what? They're trying their best. We're doing our best. It is what that synergy, right? The club, when it comes to players not necessarily being a fan favourite, and Arteta turning around and saying, you know what? Nah, actually, you need to back the players. Trust in what we're trying to do here. Trust in the environment we're trying to build here. Just trust in me. But have faith and believe, right? Obviously, results play a part in you having that power to do so, right? But that's synergy, right? Player now, Kai Havertz, for example, a player that was much maligned by Arsenal fans when he joined, but I always believed in his talent. But now they've got a song for Kai Havertz because they believe, actually, you know what? There's a player there. And so again, synergy. Players feed off that. Players get energized by that. And there's no surprises why Arsenal are where they are, because the club synergized. You look at Manchester City, synergy. Nobody can talk to me about Tiki and Pep's relationship. Certified.
I think to add to that point, I think even teams like Villa have got more.
Villa,
you know what I mean? Emery's well with the guys upstairs. I think the guys making the decisions in terms of, like, obviously how much they want to spend on players and who they want to target and where they want to go to as a club, I think is very clear.
Yeah.
Like with Spurs, I think it's the same thing. I think they accepted that they tried to go down a route that they're not familiar with.
Yeah.
And they went back to what they kind of know, where they've always kind of gone for these kind of different kind of names, you know, your Martin Yoles and them kind of things there. Yeah. They've gone for one this time in Ange, and it's paid off. Do you know what I'm saying?
They're swimming in an environment that they're comfortable with.
Yeah.
In an environment that they're used to. Do you know what I'm saying? And that's not a problem. Like, what we need to get off this sort of thing where we have to do all what the other big clubs do. No, you are who you are. You are who you are. I'm a big believer in you as a human being, as an institution, are likely to be are who you are, right? Because the institution is made up of the people that have made it, built it, right? So Chelsea are who they are.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Chelsea are who they are. So you need to respect that. And I just feel like these owners do not. And this is why we're always going to be at... There's likely to be conflict. There's likely to be conflict. You know what I mean? There's likely to be disparities between us and what we want on the pitch. But I said this before. There's a real opportunity here to really right the wrongs. And that is, you know, getting rid of Pochettino and getting a manager that has the capacity to not only unite the fan base, but also get us on the pitch performing at a level.
I think another thing that they need to try and focus on doing now as well is they need to try and just have another look at just all round how they're doing business in terms of in every department as well. Because I think there needs to, if you want some of these managers to stand up and take the job serious as well and want to come here and manage, you need to start having a few things said about you in a bit more of a positive light in terms of how you're doing things, like with the players, with the manager, with, and that, like, for me, that I'm just talking about everybody, because I feel like I feel like there were a couple instances with Potter where they done certain things and I just didn't really like it. And it just looked like if I was looking from the outside in and I was a good manager looking for a job, when I see and hear some of these things that are going on, I'm not sure I'm going to come there. And then now I'm even hearing about, I'm not sure what's going on behind the scenes with Poch and the owners in terms of what they've promised him when he's first come and if they've changed things halfway through and said, you know what, we can get this. And then they've just turned out to be like, oh, you know what, just carry on as whatever. I'm not sure if that's happened or not. But what I'm saying is if those things are happening and managers who are in higher places than me, who, you know, I'm only a fan, but these other managers, they'll have people in and around the game. Do you know what I'm saying? They'll have people hearing much more detailed information about Chelsea than we do. Do you get what I'm saying? So if you are doing these things that are rubbing people the wrong way, don't be surprised when Xabi Alonso doesn't even give you the time of day to talk to him. Yeah. Don't be surprised if Ruben Amorim has already got Liverpool high on that list and doesn't even plan on hearing what you have planned for him at Chelsea. Do you see what I'm saying? Because you have to get yourself in a position as well where people still want to come and work there. Like, people knew with Roman, Roman can be a bastard, but I know he's going to put me in a position to win. I know he's going to put me in a position to win. So I'll go there and win a trophy. I've got a chance of getting a trophy. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there's a difference. What I'm saying doesn't mean that you have to be the nicest owner in the world. It doesn't mean that. It just means that you just need to have a clear kind of reputation in regards to what you are about in terms of, like, what you want this club to be. And how you want, like, what you're going to do for the manager. Do you know what I mean? How are you going to support them? Because if it's all based off lies and these kind of empty promises and stuff like that, nobody's going to come here, bro.
No.
Nobody's going to come here because that's not who Roman was. Do you understand? Yeah. Roman wasn't that person. Roman was, I'm 100% going to put you in a position to win. Don't you worry about that. You don't worry about that.
Yeah, you are patterned. Don't worry in that respect. You're good. Don't worry. You're good. Yeah. But make sure you do the thing. Make sure you do the thing. That's it.
Yeah, exactly. Literally.
That's very simple. That's all this man was on. Like, he's like, look, I'm going to give you everything you need, right? Just make sure you are patterned. That is it. That is it, bro. Just
with these guys, I just think, like you're saying as well, I just don't, I haven't had that feeling yet. I haven't had that feeling yet. I think what you've been fair about as well in the past is you said that they do seem to be ambitious.
Yeah,
which is fair, and I think it's valid. Like, they seem to be very ambitious, and it's no surprise considering the type of businessmen that they are. But, like, you can be ambitious and still get a lot of things wrong. Do you know what I mean? And at the moment, it just seems like there's more wrong than right at the moment. So that's what they need to kind of fix. And yeah, that's the only way they get back to the top, I think.
It's absolutely incredible what they've done. And like I've said before, someone needs to write a book about how you can stupendously fail an institution in 18 months like these guys have done. Like, this needs to be studied because it's actually mind-blowing what they've done to this club. Mind-blowing. But it's neither here nor there. Let's not dwell too much on it. But I guess a question I ask you is, given all the names that we've been linked with, Pochettino will potentially leaving, Amorim, Slot, Thomas Tuchel, Jose Mourinho, who are you more on board with? I've actually never asked you really about Amorim and Slot, so I'm interested. Yeah. Who are you actually...
after Potter went, I actually tweeted about Amorim and Poch, and I actually was very comfortable with having Amorim come in as a manager when I heard about how there was going to be an overhaul of the squad, new players coming in. I thought, you know what, that would be a perfect opportunity to hire someone like him. And I'd watched him against Spurs and Arsenal before that. And I was really, really impressed with the way he approached the games. Just the confidence in his team. His team play, like, with this kind of fearless kind of vibe where they don't care if, like, player-wise, they're inferior or whatever. They will play the way they want to play. And that comes from the manager. So,
I think... They're a fearless team. They go for it, man.
Do you see what I'm saying? And you can feel it. You can feel it when you're watching them. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, the fact that I could watch them and have that kind of feeling for that team that I don't even really support like that, I felt like, yeah, this, if this is at my club, like, I can definitely get on board with it. So
that, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm very comfortable with Ruben Amorim being a target. I just think it's really techie situation now. I just think it's really hard for them to deal with.
Yeah, no, I hear you. It's very, very... mate, I don't know, man. I don't know. I completely agree that Amorim would be a very good fit, in my opinion. Obviously, he comes from the school of Jose Mourinho. So I love that intensity, that shithousery. That's a bit of me. But, you know, for me, there's nobody that I feel like would be best suited to really reconnect everyone than Thomas Tuchel. I feel like, don't get me wrong, these guys have made a real mess of everything, but I feel like we need him back, man. I feel like we need him back. TT, and obviously you saw in his last game in the Champions League talking about, you know, he's happy to be back in London. You know what I'm saying? I'm just like, oh, come on, bro. I need Thomas back, bro. I need him back, man. I think he is the one guy that will definitely unite the fan base. One, I think he definitely get us in a position to compete. Maybe not win right now, but compete most definitely. And that can't be understated. That can't be understated. He's that good.
I think that good. What would be interesting about Tuchel coming back? Is that there's people in place, in positions, departments in the team now that he doesn't have to get involved in.
Yeah,
facts. I think people need to take that into consideration when you think about Tuchel coming back. Because I think we all know Tuchel. He's a strong character. He'll always have a hot head at times for certain things, and that's just because he's a winner, like, generally. But nobody can deny the connection that he had with the fans when he was here. And I think at this moment in time, a lot of people would more so appreciate Thomas Tuchel coming back rather than try to think about how his season ended before he left.
Facts.
And some people don't even care about that how it ended, because we just know that he was a good manager for us. Do you know what I mean?
Facts.
So I think generally most people appreciate Thomas Tuchel, but there were a lot of people that started to kind of get a little bit ungrateful and, you know, like, a little bit too... They were going too far the other way in terms of, like, how the season was ending and how pre-season went and then how the new season started and stuff like that. So I think it would be a perfect opportunity for, like, a fresh slate for Thomas Tuchel and these owners to start again, where you've kind of got things in place.
Yeah.
However, I do think... I don't know, man. There's reports of him wanting to come back, innit? Or not minding coming back to Chelsea. Yeah. But I just don't know. I don't see him as... I think he's too strong a character. Like, I don't think he's going to work with these guys.
Yeah, but you know what? I think he's also, because he's worked with them before, he'd be like, okay, I kind of know what they're on. And I feel like it's always been reported that as long as they apologise to him and admit, you know, apology from him, from them, and then obviously a mutual respect and apology, he'd come back. That's the thing, like, because they know, and everyone knows, a mistake was made. And ultimately, players go back to club. I mean, managers go back to clubs all the time, like, with the same owners, you know. So it's cool as long as you admit your mistake. It's calm. You get what I'm saying to say. And if it doesn't work out again, then it doesn't work out. It's all good. But at least you've done it. At least you've tried.
One thing that's clear is that there are going to be 4 or 5 good managers, I think, at the end of this season.
Yeah.
So it'll be very interesting to see how it pans out.
Yeah, very.
Very interesting.
Boy, a lot of movement in the manager transfer window. It's crazy.
There's so much movement.
But let's preview the Everton game quickly, because that one, again, I'm scratching my head thinking, what are we going to get? Because that's on Monday night at Stamford Bridge, 8:00. What are you saying, Jay? What team are you going with first and foremost? Because,
I'd go with the exact same team we put out against, I think, United, you know. I'd want to see Rodri come back in. I think he started that game. And I'd want to see... I think we need a solid midfield, and I know our midfield hasn't been solid like that, but the most solid we can get at the moment in terms of put out is probably Connor, Enzo and Caicedo. I know people don't like the whole Connor thing, and Carney's just come back from injury, so I just doubt he'll start. Initially, I'd actually have Carney there, but I don't think... I'm not sure if Carney's going to start games like that.
Yeah.
With it being the end of the season, it would just be so shit for him to get injured again like that, but... You never know. Like, he could start, but I think it will be Connor. But mainly having Gusto back on that right side as well. I think he's training okay, so that's fine.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I think the centre-back partnership, I heard Levi's meant to be back this week, so...
Okay.
Yeah, we'll see. But I doubt he'll be ready to start, but centre-back partnership would probably be maybe, I don't know, Thiago and Thing again, or maybe Benoit and Badiashile again, so... I'm not sure.
Yeah, Benoit and De Sassi potentially. And then obviously Palmer, you know.
Cucurella left back, Gusto right back.
I mean,
yeah, man.
What are you saying for the result though?
just whatever, man.
you think we're gonna wipe him?
I don't think so. I don't think so. Yeah. Everton, bro.
Bro,
the only thing is we haven't I don't think we're losing. I don't think we'll lose. But I don't know if we're going to win.
this is hell, bro. Absolute hell. Honest to God. I can't believe this is where we are. This is mental. This is where we are, bro. Oh,
yeah, man. It's crazy. Yeah,
it's insane. I don't know. I'm going to go
It's definitely our last chance to get Europa, though.
Yeah, I think we're going to go. I'm going to say we're going to draw the game 1-1. And then that's going to throw the end of any chance of him staying. I think that's him donezo. 1-1, a shitty, shitty performance as well. I'm going to say Cole Palmer gets the goal. But yeah, 1-1, and then that's that done, bro. I think we're... Oh,
Cole Palmer.
I'm not looking forward to it. I'm glad he's not playing on the weekend so I can have a good weekend. I don't care. I'm just like, I'm not looking forward to any of it, but I just hope that, you know, in a couple, like 2 months' time, I just see the back of this guy, and this is like a distant memory in a long bit of success in the future, because this is just actually disgusting. And
trying to put it in the archives with the Potters.
Oh, bro, this is written off so bad. Like these last few years, oh my God, disgusting.
Oh, I hear you.
But with these new owners, I have no faith in us getting back to the top. Because we're just such a joke of an organisation.
No, like we said, they've got a lot of work to do to kind of make us feel like we are ever going to kind of start heading in that direction, if we're honest. Like, we see the ambition, but I think you've still got a lot of work to do to kind of convince us about the direction, so.
Mate, anyway. It is what it is. I've been Mead. Jay's been Jay.
Yeah, as always.
You've been Cheziawa. I appreciate you, listeners. We'll catch us next week, and hopefully
off the back of a win, man.
The back of a win against Everton. But anyways, take it easy. Peace.
Oh, look after yourself.
Sports Social Podcast Network.